grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow friends, brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. There is a reason that we usually end our worship services with these words. We are reminded that we can go in peace because we have been forgiven by God. We are to live in harmony with one another because we are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to serve the Lord with gladness. That phrase, with gladness, is very important. It does not please God if we serve Him with the attitude of, well, I guess I have to do this. Sometimes it can be hard to serve the Lord with gladness because we can be mocked and hated as we do it. And sometimes it can almost seem impossible to serve the Lord with gladness simply because our sinful nature does not desire to serve the Lord at all. But here in the prophet Isaiah's message, we see Jesus, the servant of the Lord, our Savior and our strength, who served the Lord with gladness on our behalf. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, He has made mention of my name. Even before Jesus was born, God made mention of His name and gave glory to Jesus. You see that multiple times throughout the Old Testament. When Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God said to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." When God chose Abraham to be the father of his nation, God said that all nations on earth would be blessed through Abraham's descendants. And God promised to King David that one person from his line would rule on his throne forever. There were multiple times that God made mention of Jesus and gave him praise. And think about how amazing that really is. Any other man-made religion gives praise and mentions the name of someone because they existed and what they had done. That's the reason that they follow that person and give praise to them. But contrast that with the Old Testament believers. They put their faith in a Savior who wasn't even born yet. They put their faith in a Savior who technically hadn't even saved them yet. Logically, this makes no sense. But after the Israelites heard these promises of God, they believed. And God credited their faith to them as righteousness. Because God, who does not live in time, had already seen Jesus, and He saw the salvation that He would bring to all people. Therefore, since God made mention of Jesus' name and gave praise to Him before He was ever born, you would think that when Jesus was born, God would make it completely obvious to everyone who Jesus was. But that wasn't always the case. Jesus said, "He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in His quiver." Even though Jesus' mouth was like a sharpened sword and He was polished like an arrow, God hid Him and concealed Him. Now, there were times that God revealed to the people who Jesus was. You can think of on Christmas, the angels sang about Jesus' birth to the shepherds. God guided the wise men from the east with the star to lead them to Jesus. At his baptism, God the Father declared, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There were times that God revealed to the people who Jesus was. But most of the time, this was not completely obvious to everyone. Scripture tells us that Jesus had no beauty or majesty to him that would make people desire him or to be drawn to him. For a lack of better words, Jesus appeared as your average Joe Schmo. But it was the words that Jesus spoke in his sermons and the miracles that he performed that made the people flock to him. And just think about how popular Jesus was in his ministry. We have one account that when Jesus entered into a home, the house was so jam-packed full of people that no one else could get inside. We have an account that Jesus was at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and so many people crowded around him that he had to get in a boat and sail from the shore just a little bit so that he could preach to them. People traveled for days just to see Jesus. A crowd of over 5,000 people came to him. On Palm Sunday, most of Jerusalem shouted, "Hosanna in the highest," as Jesus entered into the city. Therefore, since Jesus was so popular in his ministry, you would think it must have been easy for Jesus to serve the Lord with gladness. Listen again to what Jesus admitted here. "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing." It may seem odd to us to think that Jesus labored for nothing and that his ministry was not a success. Now, scripturally speaking, Jesus' ministry was successful. He did everything that the Lord told him to do. But from a worldly perspective, a perspective that only focuses on numbers and focuses on how it's not how you begin, but how you finish, from that perspective, Jesus did labor in vain and his ministry was not successful. Even though Jesus was incredibly popular with the people, in time, the people began to leave him because Jesus did not live up to their expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to be. In fact, so many people began to leave Jesus that he turned to his own 12 disciples and asked, "Are you going to leave me too?" The disciples said they were not going to leave Jesus because he had the words of eternal life. But during the final days of Jesus' life, the disciples did not keep this promise. Judas, one of the 12, betrayed Jesus. Peter, one of the 12, who earlier said that he would never leave Jesus and that he would even die for him, he denied that he even knew Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. The other disciples deserted Jesus when he was arrested. And only the disciple John was there at Jesus' crucifixion. And speaking of his crucifixion, we look at the cross and we see it as a sign of comfort. But Scripture tells us that the message of the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. The message of the cross is offensive to the Jewish people because according to the law, it says anyone who dies on a tree is cursed by God. The message of the cross is foolishness to the Gentiles because to them they view the cross as only reserved for the worst of criminals. And that's the message that we share. From a worldly perspective, Jesus' ministry was not successful, but a complete failure. And so we can understand why Jesus would say that he has labored in vain, Because after all the sermons that he preached and all the miracles that he performed, the people still rejected him. But even though the people would reject him, even though Jesus knew that his own disciples would leave him, this did not stop Jesus from serving the Lord with gladness. Jesus said, "Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." This is what the Lord says to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Jesus served the Lord with gladness because he knew that what was due for him was in the Lord's hand. He served the Lord with gladness because he knew that the Lord would reward him, and God did reward him. That's the reason that God raised Jesus from the dead, because Jesus' resurrection is God's stamp of approval of everything that Jesus did as he served him. And after his resurrection, God exalted Jesus and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So even those who despise Jesus and abhorred him will one day on Judgment Day bow down and praise him. Jesus served the Lord with gladness, and the Lord rewarded him. So now that brings us to this question. What does this have to do with you and me? After all, it seems like all of these verses are only focused and talking about Jesus. But listen again to what the prophet said. The Lord says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." God said it was too small of a thing for Jesus only to reach out to the Jewish people. Therefore, God made Jesus, his servant, a light to the Gentiles so that he could reach out to all people in the earth. But how can that be? Most of Jesus' ministry was done in Israel and with the Jewish people. So how could Jesus possibly reach out to the Gentiles throughout the world? Jesus does that through us, his servants. And he wants us to serve him with gladness. Look at the disciple Andrew. After John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," the very first thing that Andrew did was to tell his brother Peter that they had found the Christ. Look at Paul and Barnabas. They went to a Jewish synagogue to tell the people that Jesus was the Christ. And even though most of the Jews became jealous and spoke against them, they continued to serve the Lord with gladness, and many Gentiles were brought to faith. And that's what God wants you and I to do, to serve him with gladness. God has called us out of spiritual darkness into his wonderful light, and therefore he wants us to let our light shine to all people by what we say and do. But do we always serve the Lord with gladness? We are to stick out to the world that we do not belong to them. The world should know that on a Sunday morning we are going to gather here for worship instead of sleeping in and relaxing because it's the weekend. The world shouldn't expect that we're not going to listen to the music or watch movies that are sinful that they like to listen to and to watch. The world should expect that we will not join in with them, indulging in sexual immorality, drunkenness, and every other sin. But maybe sometimes we do just enough to make it seem like we are a part of the world, so that we will not be mocked and despised by others. We are to serve the Lord with gladness by sharing the message of Christ with the people in our homes, with relatives and friends, with our co-workers, and with anyone else that we meet in our lives. The Lord can easily give us opportunities to share our faith. When those opportunities come, we may become silent and not even mutter a single word about Christ. Or when the Lord does give us those opportunities and we share that message, the people can reject us. And therefore, we become angry with God because they now hate us for what we said to them. And sometimes we may not want to serve the Lord with gladness simply because in our minds we think it's not fun, it's not enjoyable, and it's a burden. The reason we think that way is because of our sinful nature that does not desire to serve God. But that's what God commands us and He wants us to do. But so often we do not serve Him. And even if we do, we don't always serve Him with gladness. So where can we possibly find this motivation to serve the Lord with gladness? That motivation is found in Christ, who served the Lord with gladness in His life. It wasn't always easy for Jesus to do that. But He served the Lord with gladness because He knew that the Lord would reward Him, and He did it for our salvation. In Christ, we have forgiveness for the times we haven't served the Lord with gladness. And even here, Jesus admitted that God was His strength, and God is also our strength to serve Him. Look to Christ as your Savior and as your strength to serve the Lord with gladness. And when our time of service is over, when our lives come to an end, God will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so, as I began this sermon, I repeat the same words to you. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.